Blog Talk Radio.
November 6th, it is the Fill It Up Friday show, Fantasy Football to the Point. Welcome. Thank you for joining in. I'm Brandon Robertson, joined with Taha Rahman. This is our DraftKings edition. A lot of players, a lot of good matchups. Want to give you some information to help you guys win some DFS this weekend. So it is NFL Week 9. It's coming at us really fast. And just a lot of things to kind of jump into. So before we get started, hadn't done this in a while, but we got to acknowledge our partnership with DraftKings. You know, so season's been going pretty good. Show's been going really good. We've been very excited about the partnership. And I think last week we didn't do the read. So I know that's you guys' favorite part of the show. So I'm going to go ahead and jump in, do the DraftKings read. And just to kind of to get us started. All right. So fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com. It's America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Now, daily fantasy means no season-long commitment. Play whenever you want. Just pick your sport and draft your team. It's like a new season every time you play. So you're never stuck with the same players. Over $1 billion will be won at DraftKings.com this year. And you can be the next to win big. So go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code to the point to play for free. That's to the point for free entry now at DraftKings.com. All right, Taha, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. I'm just excited for football. The one sad thing is, boy, the season is almost over. And for everybody, if I sound relaxed and just like cool as a motherfucker, it's because my team is 8-0. I don't know what else to tell you. I got no worries in the world. It's just, being a Bengals fan, I've never felt like this, Brandon. See, being a Cowboys fan, you guys won a lot of Super Bowls. And if I remember correctly, 5 years ago, you guys had that massive team when the Patriots were like going undefeated and you guys went like 14-2. So you know the feeling. As a Bengals fan, you never have this feeling, folks. I think the last time they went 6-0 is when, like, Chris Collinsworth was playing, okay, folks? So this, in my generation, is a feeling I have never felt, and I don't know how to explain it, but it is a great sensation. It feels great. Now I know what Patriots fans feels like every year.
I can hear the enthusiasm in his voice. And look, bro, you should be excited. I mean, I think that's a perfect segue for us to jump into that Thursday night matchup between the Bengals and the Cleveland Browns before we get into the DraftKings bye. Now, you know, early on the Wednesday show, we thought this would kind of be a close matchup, but we felt like Cincinnati was a favorite. They would edge them out. And Taha, after finding out that the game was going to be in Cincinnati, I mean, he was very confident. He damn near nailed the score for point, which was impressive. And the evidence is on Facebook. You can go to our Facebook page and just follow the feed, and you'll see it. But the Bengals, man, it's just so much talent on the roster, just consistency. And if you look at the second half, with the exception of maybe the last drive, Cleveland had maybe 7 yards of offense, which is, it's just unreal. The defense was playing so well. So let's jump on the Cincinnati side of the ball and tell me, what was your takeaway from the Thursday night game?
Well, my takeaway from that game is Adam Pac-Man Jones is one of the dirtiest cornerbacks in the world. I mean, he is good. Not dirty in a bad way, but he is good. Like, that guy's on a different level. Like, Leon Hall, who's been our shutdown cornerback, is now a nickelback guy. And Drake Kirkpatrick falls for a pump fake every time, but Adam holds it back down. But I was telling Brandon before we went on, I think two players emerged to the world this Thursday. Number one, Tyler Eifert. We've been talking about him a lot on this show, Brandon. We have talked about him being, when the season's all said and done, he's going to be the number two tight end. And we might have misspoke. This guy might end the year as the best tight end in the game. Yeah, I know. There's Rob Gronkowski. But he emerged, okay? Andy Dalton needed that performance. Okay, he came out to the world. Everyone that says he can't win big games, he makes bad mistakes. He played a flawless football game, folks. He didn't tear up the, you know, stat sheet with 450 yards and all of that stuff. He played a flawless football game, folks. But the other player I think emerged to the whole world is Giovanni Bernard. If you watch that game, you guys all believe what I've been saying this whole year. Jeremy Hill is a bum. Okay, he runs, he gets 2 yards. Gio runs the same play, gets 15 yards. It seems like every time Gio touched the ball, he was getting 10 yards, 10 yards, 10 yards, 10 yards. Giovanni Bernard emerged amongst all of that, and I think Gio and Tyler Eifert is the two players that really emerge. And in fantasy realm, those two did what they needed to do, I think. In my opinion, those are the two that just stuck out for me.
I agree, especially with the Eifert. If you look at the points this season for the top tight end, there's really about a 9-point separation between first place or the top guy and the third guy. And, you know, Gronk obviously is the first guy. But behind him in PPR league is tight end for the Cleveland Browns, Gary Barnage, which is surprising. And right behind Barnage at 5 points less is Tyler Eifert. And then after Eifert, it's a huge jump off. I mean, it's like a 20 to 30 point difference. So right now, Gronk, Barnage, and Eifert have basically – they've excelled and left the field when it comes to tight end play. I mean, the closest to them is maybe almost 20 to 30 points off, which is – that's very significant. So with Eifert, the thing I like about the way they utilize him, one, in the red zone, they're looking for this guy, which to me, when you have a big body – a receiver, a tight end with good hands and just ball awareness, and you have a good feel for him as a quarterback, you got to look for him. Like, you have to take advantage of the short field, the red zone, that consolidated space, and make the most of it. So I like that they look for him in the red zone. I also like the fact that they'll play him like a wide receiver. They're splitting
out. I think we lost Brandon. He was talking about Tyler Eifert and the red zone targets that he got on Thursday night. We'll wait for him to get back on. And when he gets back on, he'll continue to talk. But I know that he was talking about Tyler Eifert being a big target in the red zone. And, you know, that is for the Tyler Eifert owners. If you had him, you drafted him pretty low, and he has been better than anything that you expected. And then the best, one thing that's kind of scary is for the A.J. Green owners, because those are usually A.J. Green targets that he's not getting, and that's why A.J. Green's touchdowns are low this year. I mean, think about it. If you have one guy on your team that has 8-9 touchdowns already, thus this far, averaging a touchdown a game, it takes away from the primary target, which is...
that's significant. I mean, it's very significant, you know, so... Tom makes a very interesting point. You look at Tyler Eifert being utilized in the red zone, which they did a lot, but then also when the second half of that game started, they were able to get A.J. Green involved, like, often and early. And you were able to see Dalton really get the ball to AJ, target him, kind of get him going, and, you know, just kind of proving that, look, AJ is still the number one target there. But the thing about the Bengals, they're very talented on offense. They're scoring a good amount of points, and they're winning these games, you know. So there's almost enough of options or enough opportunities to go around because they're putting the ball in the air, so they're getting the receivers and the tight ends involved. But also from a running back standpoint, you know, they got Giovanni Bernard getting snaps. Jeremy Hill getting snaps. I even heard Rex Burkman name called several times, a running back out of Nebraska. So right now, just from an offensive standpoint, a team standpoint, they're just clicking, man. They're clicking. They're on all cylinders, and they're really, really getting it done. And just overall, just a very explosive team, you know, just extremely explosive. But kind of looking at that game, one thing I really wanted to point out, in addition to Tyler Eifert and his utilization, I mean, because, I mean, the three touchdowns was amazing. I mean, I didn't expect that, but obviously, you know, just that's a really great performance from a tight end standpoint, really just offensively, period. But what I was concerned about in this game coming into it is that there was a lot of rumblings about Jeremy Hill dominating the snaps, and since they had a bye week, you know, Jeremy was going to be the guy. And I know the week before, you know, Gio, I think he only ran the ball maybe once or twice from an attempt standpoint. And I mean, it really concerned me that they didn't even give him the attempt. You know, so coming in a Thursday night, I didn't know what to expect, you know, but I went with my gut. I started Giovanni Bernard in one of my leagues, and, you know, he was decent. You know, almost 80 yards rushing. Didn't get as many receptions as he usually gets, but, you know, they utilize him. And like Tom made excellent points. You know, when Jeremy Hill gets the ball, you're looking at 2 to 3 yards. But then Gio gets the ball, and you're looking at 6 yards, 12, 15. And it's like, damn, you know, it's like it's the same line blocking, you know, similar plays. But Gio just kind of has that burst, yeah, that energy, just kind of, he's just running very differently. Now, what I thought was interesting, listening to that game, you can hear announcers make statements like, yo, Jeremy Hill looks a little, you know, sluggish going through the line. Maybe he's injured. Maybe he's ginger. He's just not running like he did last year, because last year he was a freaking beast. I mean, he just really stood out, just extremely talented back. So I didn't know what to expect coming into this game when it came to the running back position. I was just hoping Gio would get something. But, you know, they utilized him a lot. And what I thought was interesting, as they got closer to the other side of the field into the red zone, it was Gio that was getting those carries opposed to Jeremy. So not really sure what's going on there with the offensive coordinator and these two running backs, you know, because before the game, they were saying Jeremy would get the carries. During the game, Gio got the carries, and it really throws it off for from a fantasy standpoint. But, I mean, Taha, it's your team. You follow him a lot. I mean, do you think that Jeremy's still the lead dog? Do you think Gio's the guy? What's your thoughts there?
So you remember the Carolina Panthers like 3 years ago, like D'Angelo Williams signed that big contract, but then they drafted this guy from Oregon named Jonathan Stewart. And they had a kind of situation where you didn't know who to start all the time. Remember in the preseason show, I said, that's what you're going to get with Cincinnati. So none of the running backs is like someone I took that high because Jeremy Hill was going ADP second round. So what happens is that's the situation it is. Jeremy Hill was the main back starting the game. They gave him all the opportunities to be successful. If you watch the first two drives, Gio doesn't even touch the field. Jeremy Hill runs for three. Jeremy Hill runs for three. Jeremy Hill runs for one. Jeremy Hill does all of this. And then they bring in Gio, and they go with the hot hand. And then Gio ran the ball and was 12 yards. The offensive coordinator loves Jeremy Hill, and he wants Jeremy Hill to be made like the Jeremy Hill last year. Because if Jeremy Hill is like the Jeremy Hill from last year, we might not throw the ball the rest of the season, Brandon, because Gio is showing you that he gets 6 yards a pop. You know what I mean? So I think it's a situation where if you own any of those running backs, it's going to be a carousel. But the consistent back that I would feel comfortable putting in every week is going to be a Giovanni Bernard in a PPR league, because he will catch balls out of the backfield. He's not going to goose egg you. Jeremy Hill will goose egg you. That is a guaranteed fact. So it's a tough situation. I think they're going to go with whoever the hot hand is. I said it on the Wednesday show. Jeremy Hill comes out in the first couple of runs. He runs for 20 yards. Geo might not get a crack the rest of the game. But it's kind of a bad situation. But I think after Thursday night, I think the starting back in Cincinnati is Giovanni Bernard. Jeremy Hill's had 8 weeks at this, and he's not done anything.
Yeah, it's just not clicking. There was even a play where he fumbled the ball, but his elbow was down, so they blew it dead. But as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh my God, just when you thought it was bad, it gets worse. He's about to fumble, and it was right after a drive where Gio had popped off like two double-digit runs in the same drive. So it was just like, man, I was just a little concerned, but, I mean, it is what it is. You know, we'll definitely keep an eye on it. I will say for Tyler Eifert, one more thing about him. You know, I own Tyler Eifert and Julius Thomas in our fantasy league. And Julius Thomas for the Jacksonville Jaguars is going against New York Jets. And they have Eifert going against Cleveland. Now, Julius was projected more than Eifert. And this is where in fantasy, sometimes it's not just about following the projections or following the numbers. You have to go with a little bit of your gut, but you also have to, kind of factor in other things. So, for example, I factored in that the Jets are a really good defense coming off an embarrassing loss to the Oakland Raiders. I expect them to come out and punch Jacksonville in the mouth. I really do. Now, Cleveland has had success against tight ends. But then when I looked at the tight ends that have played against Cleveland, they ain't seen no one like Tyler Eifert. I mean, this, in my opinion, this was the best tight end that they ever faced. So I like my chances with Eifert opposed to Thomas going against the Jets. But, the projections projected Julius higher. So at the end of the day, you got to, make the best decision for your team. Don't just look at the numbers. Factor in other things, and you got to take chances, So can you imagine how just sick I would have felt if I would have left him on the bench like it was projected for me to do? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, because when you look at the lineups, they'll tell you, hey, this is the lineup you should go with. So every once in a while, nothing wrong with bucking the system. Nothing wrong with bucking the system. All right, so obviously – Cincinnati looks good on the offensive side of the ball, defensively very strong, several sacks on Johnny Manziel. So from a fantasy standpoint, let's look at Cleveland. Now, Cleveland didn't have McCown. McCown's their starting quarterback. They had Manziel. And for the most part, Manziel played a good game, right? I mean, they're limited at wide receiver. They can't get their running game going. Thank God for Duke Johnson, but he seems to be more of a receiving running back. But I don't know, Cleveland's just very limited. So what did you see Thursday night from the Cleveland side of things?
Well, when I watched the Cleveland side of things, my thing, Brandon, they have one of the best offensive lines in the league with Joe Thomas, Alex Mack. They got a pretty good line. And I know their running game has really suffered this year. And the reason for that is because of their running back. They need to give the ball to Duke Johnson. This year's a wash for you. Don't play McCown. Play Johnny. Play Duke Johnson. See what you have with these guys. If you don't play these guys, you will never know what you're going to get with these guys. You're just going to let Johnny make all that millions of dollars not doing anything. Let Johnny play. He didn't look bad. And I think the reason Duke Johnson is everyone's thinking he's a receiving back is because they don't give him the opportunity to run the ball. And I think you give him the chance to run the ball, you might find something. You know what I'm saying? Just because this guy is just, you know, toe drag swag all over the place as a wide receiver, maybe see what he can do from behind the backfield. I mean, who, Isaiah Crowell, do you really like him that much? At what time, when did I fall asleep and forgot to wake up to realize that Isaiah Crowell is Adrian Peterson? Like, you don't have to be that committed to that guy. Like, I'm just like, let this guy Duke Johnson play. Because he's looking good, but I think if they let him play, maybe you get something out of it, Brandon. I like Duke Johnson.
Yeah, I like him too. He's very talented. And you're right. I mean, there is some surprising loyalty to Crowell. I mean, they're very, I guess attached to him. You know, they let Terrence West go. You know, he was a young running back who had some success last year, but they're just very faithful to Crowell. And Duke Johnson is talented, man. You know, him and Manziel hooked up, got in the end zone. Might have something there. They even had a Dwayne Bowe sighting. I mean, I didn't know Dwayne Bowe was still on that team. But
he got cut from that team, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he got cut. Maybe they picked him back up, you know. Yeah, I heard his name three times. He was in the second half on a later drive, but you know, I heard his number got called. So, but I mean, look, Travis Benjamin. You know, he was the guy. You know, we had in my opinion, I think Travis Benjamin is the reason that we created the Hide and Here segment that we do on Sundays. You know, players like him he was one of those guys who was scoring 20, 30 points, and we're like, oh, man, there's no way it's going to sustain. And he does it again, and we're like, okay, come on. And all of a sudden, you know, guy kind of fades away. But, I mean, I'm not betting my championship, my championship opportunities on Travis Benjamin. I'm not waiting on that. So Cleveland, they just once again have some work to do. Now, I know they got some injuries on the defensive side of the ball, but let's just face it, man, Cincinnati is a better team. And, you know, Cleveland just, they were out of their depth, is what it is. But it's a good win for Cincinnati. It's a strong win, and you got to beat the teams that they put in front of you, and they beat them, you know, and they beat them convincingly. So, That's a quality win. So they get to sit back this weekend and watch their competition. So
can I tell you what that game was like? You watch a lot of college football, right, Brandon?
Yep.
So I'll give you an example. Cincinnati was at Alabama, and Cleveland was Mississippi State.
Mm.
It's a lose-lose situation. The Bengals got nothing out of it. You beat Cleveland. Well, you're supposed to beat Cleveland, but if you lose to Cleveland, you're just a smokescreen. You know, every major media outlet was looking for Cleveland to win that game, so they could mark the Bengals as pretenders. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Every time Alabama plays Mississippi State, what are they looking for? Mississippi State to pull out that win. And Mississippi State stays close in the first quarter, and then Alabama just beats the dog shit out of them at the end of the game. And what does Herb Street and all of them say? Well, Alabama came and did what Alabama was supposed to do. But before the game, they're like, watch out for this game. Mississippi State's going to come and bite you in your ass. But after the game, well, Alabama did what Alabama was supposed to do. So that game was a lose-lose situation for us. There was no way we're going to come out victorious on that because the national media does not want to give the Bengals any kind of props whatsoever. That's my last thing I'm going to say about that game.
That's a perfect example. I remember that last national championship run that Bama had, and you're absolutely right. You know, when they play teams like that, they didn't have – it's a lose-lose situation. If they beat them, they're supposed to beat them. If the team even scored on them or showed any type of fight, it's like, oh, well, maybe Alabama's not good like they used to be. And what we fail to realize when it comes to competitive sports and you're that team or that guy, you have a bullseye on your back. So you're going to get everyone best game. You always get their best game. Now, the difference in someone giving their best game or just kind of rising up because they're playing a tough opponent versus a team that's really solid is that that team is solid is going to stay at the same tempo in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. But that team that just kind of rose up, they're going to look good in the first quarter. They're going to dial it down in the second quarter. In the third quarter, they're going to really dial it down. In the fourth quarter, they're going to be defeated. Hence why I pointed out the stat of Cleveland having damn near 7 yards of offense for the duration of the second half of the game. And so eventually a team that's not that good, their true colors are going to show. They're not going to be able to keep up. So that's what happened, man. So that's a really good analogy. I still think it was a good win for them. Those Thursday night games were brutal. It's a short week. And so if you can get a win convincingly on a Thursday night, then more power to you. Definitely more power to you. All right. So we're going to kick off with our bargain buys. And so when we look at our bargain buys, we're going to look at each position, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. So the bargain buys are going to be the players that they're going to be the players that we like this week because of price, all right? These are guys that, you know, we really feel like this would be a strong play. We feel like their price is, we kind of feel like it'll be justified for the performance that they can turn in, okay? So let's look at some bargain buys at quarterback. Taha, are we seeing any good bargain buys that we like at quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, there's two bargain buys, and it's like I'm going to the well 2 weeks. I mean, it's like back-to-back. Jameis Winston and Jay Cutler, both at 5,200. I like the matchup a lot. 5,200 is really cheap, Brandon. And Jay Cutler, since coming back and getting Alshon back, has been pretty good, and he's going versus San Diego. And I know if you look at DraftKings, they say San Diego's pass defense is really good. Well, that's kind of misleading. San Diego's pass defense is not that good, folks. And Jameis Winston's been playing good the last three games. So I like both of them at 5,200 this week.
Yeah, I like them. I'm going to go with, I say two unlikely guys, but they're unlikely to me. I'm going to go with one guy that's returning off of an injury. Looks like he will be playing this Sunday. And I'm going to go with another guy coming off a bye and a really, really big win, a big signature win for his team. I'm going to go with Marcus Mariota for the Tennessee Titans. Mariota's price at 5,300, and they're going against the New Orleans Saints. And I don't know if you've been under a rock, but the New Orleans Saints just gave up over 50 points last weekend. So pretty safe to say their defense is not very competitive, to say the least, right? So I like Marcus Mariota coming back with the team, new coach, new energy, and getting the Saints, who are absolutely the worst team against quarterbacks from a fantasy standpoint. They give up the most points to that position. So I think Mariota can give them some problems. I think he shakes off the cobwebs after the first quarter, kind of settles down and has a good game from there on out. And the second person I'm looking at for a bargain buy is going to be Kirk Cousins at 5,100 for the Washington Redskins. And guess what? Kirk Cousins is going against the New England Patriots. Let me tell you something that New England does very well. Score points. Let me tell you something that they don't do very well. Defense. Their defense is very vanilla. Now, they're a smart enough team to know this, which is why they try to kick ass on the offensive side of the ball. But New England is another one of those teams that it's like they have brutal matchups week in and week out, okay? New England just came off of a very physical game against Miami. That was a physical game. The week before that, they had the Jets, another physical game. So they are beat up. They're tired, and Washington is fresh off of a bye. They're gelling. They're playing well, and I think Kirk Cousins is going to have a big game. So those are my two bargain buys at quarterback.
I like it. I like the Mariota big time.
Yeah, gotta like Mariota. Him going against the Saints.
Yeah. Yeah. The matchup tells you that's a good buy.
Absolutely. All right, so let's look at running backs. So let's see any bargain buys at running backs we like this week.
Brandon, you know you're going to hate this, but I got to go to your boy in Big D. I don't know why he's still priced this low. Like, he's the starting running back. There's no competition, folks. DraftKings, get with it and make his price go up. But until they do, you need to go ahead and cash him. I think he's going to be super highly owned this week, Brandon. At 4,300, Darren McFadden, he's going to be super highly owned at 4,300 this week. He's like a bargain buy slash fave buy, but he's not my favorite buy. I like Darren McFadden at 4,300. I just don't know how you can not use him. The second guy I'm going to go to, C.J. Anderson, 4,100. He showed something, folks, and maybe, you know, all those injuries that are coming up that he didn't tell people about, maybe that was what was holding back. He looked pretty good. I like C.J. Anderson versus Indianapolis because Indianapolis is terrible in every aspect of football this year. So C.J. Anderson, Darren McFadden, and C.J.'s 4,100 this week. So those are my two bargain buys for running backs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that McFadden is still priced low. I mean, at 4,300, I mean, there's no competition there, right? I mean, there's no one to compete. And here's his fantasy numbers for the last 3 weeks. 17.3, 27.2, 16.8. And you still have the guy priced at 4,300? I mean, now that's perfect for us. I mean, we'll take it, obviously, but I really like that one. My two, one is the popular pick. I know if Andrew was on the show, you know, we always talk about this. Sometimes when you go with that popular pick, it's like everyone goes with it, so it doesn't really work out the best. But I think this one is hard to pass up. Jeremy Langford, Chicago running back going against the San Diego Chargers Monday night. The Chargers, they're not really, let's just say, efficient when it comes to the run game. They actually, I think right now they're the worst against the running back position for fantasy. And Langford, you know, he's a young guy. They've announced him the starter. Forte's going to be out for I guess a week or so, and Langford's the guy, and I think he has a really good matchup. So at $4,000, that's a really good pick. And my second one, Taha and I were on the same page, man. I was thinking C.J. Anderson, priced at $4,100, going against the Colts. Like what I saw from him last week, Hillman got two touchdowns, but C.J. got over 100 yards. So he made the most of the carries that he received, and he looked fresh. He looked faster. He looked explosive. He hasn't looked that way this year, and there's been reports of him not fully being injured. So, I mean, being healed. So that bye week obviously was very beneficial for him. So I agree with that C.J. Anderson pick.
Now, Brandon, you know, we always talk about ownership, and, you know, folks, we don't have ownership. Just we look at trends and stuff like that. This week, because, you know, when Todd Gurley was that cheap, there wasn't really anybody close by. C.J. Anderson might be very low owned. I don't think he would be over 10% owned. I think people are going to flock towards Jeremy Langford because it's a Monday night game, and that's your Monday night ray of hope, you know. And I think people are going to be all over Darren McFadden. So C.J. Anderson might be a sneaky play at 4,100 this week. I think people have been burned by C.J. Anderson so much, they're going to say that one game was a fluke and they're not going to use him. I really like C.J. Anderson this week.
I agree. I am right there with you. I think it's extremely difficult to pass that up from a matchup standpoint. So I completely agree. All right, let's look at wide receivers. What wide receivers do we like this week when we talk about bargain buys?
Well, until they give this guy above $6,000, I am going to keep saying him. Stephon Diggs, my man crush from Minnesota, 5,300. This guy is a man child, folks. This guy is legit, like, wide receiver two on your team. Like, he is, like, legit, legit. So Stephon Diggs has played, he's played three games this season. Game one, he had 9 targets for 7 catches and 129 yards. That's 22 points in fantasy. Game two, he had 9 targets for 6 catches and 108, Brandon, and a touchdown. That's 26 points. Last week, he had 12 targets for 6 catches, 95 yards, and a touchdown. That's 21 points. This guy is a must start, folks. And it says his hamstring, he's probable, he's playing, okay? And he is going versus St. Louis. I know that St. Louis's defense is a little scary, but guess what? I'm playing this guy. I'm playing this guy until he proves me wrong. At 5,300, he's not going to kill you. So, Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs, folks. Oh, forgot one thing. He did play a game before that, Brandon. He played week 4, right before the bye. 10 targets, 6 catches for 87 yards.
Wow.
This guy is a 20-point machine, Stephon Diggs. And then the other guy I have, I never thought I would say about this guy's name, Michael Crabtree of the Oakland Raiders at 4,900. You got to play him. You have to. This guy was the greatest receiver of all time coming out of college at Texas Tech. And I don't know what's going on in Oakland, man. They might got something going over there. In the power rankings, they were number 10. They might have something over there. Oakland Raider fans. 4,900.
Wow.
Let me get some Michael Crabtree love this week. So those are my two bargain buys, Brandon. Who you got?
Wow. You know what? I almost have to – I usually throw this disclaimer out, but it feels like I haven't had to do it in a long time. But, like, Taha and I don't discuss what players we pick or who we're going to unveil. Like, we don't go over that. Like, so you guys – like, we find out as you guys find out, right? So when we go into these segments, we don't compare notes. You know, we just kind of give it out live. And, I mean, once again, we got, you know, one of the same players. I looked at Michael Crabtree as well. At 4,900, the matchup against Pittsburgh, the way that Derek Carr is playing and the connection they have, I mean, it's very hard to pass up. I mean, Crabtree has been averaging between 16 to 14 yards a catch for the last 4 weeks. It's hard to overlook that. He's found the end zone in the last 2 weeks. He went over 100 yards last week, 7 receptions, 6 receptions. I mean, over 50 yards actually in the last 5 weeks as well. I mean, him and Derek Carr have been meshing. You know, Amari Cooper is the number one, so he draws a lot of attention. But think about it. Michael Crabtree is the number two there. Crabtree is typically a number one, okay? When Crabtree was in San Francisco, he was the number one guy. Anquan Boldin was the number two. And guess what? Boldin got a lot of activity because of Crabtree. So I think Crabtree is in a really good situation. He's basically a number one playing a number two spot. Okay, so think about that. They basically have two number one on the outskirts for this young guy, Derek Carr. So I like Crabtree, got to ride the hot hand at 4,900. I think he's a really solid play. And my number two, and man, I really can't believe I'm going to say this. But my number two is Terrence Williams for the Dallas Cowboys at 4,100. Throughout his career, even throughout this season, Terrence Williams' best game has been against Philadelphia. He shows up against division games. And, you know, he found the end zone and almost broke 100 yards on Philly earlier this year. Their number one guy goes to their number two guy, Terrence Williams gets the best of. And I think Terrence is going to find the end zone this week. So I like his matchup this week against the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia Eagles may get a lot of takeaways, but they give up a shit ton of points to the wide receiver position. They are the third worst team in fantasy against the wide receiver position. So Dez can eat, but I think Terrence is going to be the guy. I think he may even get I think he may even find the end zone twice. I would not be surprised. So at 4,100, I think he's worth giving a shot.
Yeah, I like the Terrence Williams pick a lot, Brandon. The reason for that is Terrence Williams is the number two wide receiver. When you need him to do number one shit, he can't do it. That's why he doesn't make $100 million a year. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
There's only a few folks that you back up the brakes truck for. You know, Larry Fitt, Dez Bryant, Calvin Johnson, Julio Jones, A.J. Green, Antonio Brown. Those are number ones. Terrence Williams, you know, for, you know, we all loved him and we're like, dang, he could do so much as a number two. Being that number one, it's not as glamorous as you would think. Ask Wes Welker.
Nope.
When he was the number two behind Randy Moss, that guy caught 90 balls. When he became the number one, he's out the league. And people are like, I wonder why he signed with Denver, because he knows his limitation, folks. He knew at Denver he'd be the number three, okay? And he caught 80 balls. Terrence Williams is number two. I think with Dez back, I think he can do what he has done when Dez Bryant's been there.
Yep. And he can do what they drafted him to do, and that's back up Dez Bryant. I mean, that's what he was drafted for, man. He wasn't asked to come in and be the guy. So, so we'll see how that goes. Now, we go to tight ends, and when we go to tight ends, we always kind of throw out there, because of the way the tight end position is priced, you know, bargain is maybe not the best word. But there are some differences there in the tight end position. I mean, the highest tight end position is $8,000, second one $6,500, third $5,200. So there are some bargain buys out there. You want me to go first on the tight ends?
Go ahead.
All right. So for the tight end position, two guys that stuck out. I mean, I kind of call them the low hanging fruit. You know, one's priced at $2,800, the other price at $2,700. So super, super cheap and definitely affordable. And they draw the worst and second worst matchup versus the tight end. And the first one is Austin Seferian Jenkins, who is back this week with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it looks like he will be playing. He practiced full this week twice, I believe. And so he makes his return, which is good because Winston has a good matchup. Like I said, the Giants just gave up over 50 points last week. Benjamin Watson looked like Gronk versus them. And Seferian Jenkins is an athletic tight end who has proven that he could have some success. And the second person is none other than Heath Miller. Yes, Heath Miller for the Pittsburgh Steelers. When Le'Veon Bell goes down, Heath Miller becomes a good check down option for Ben Roethlisberger. So look for Heath Miller to make some noise versus the Raiders.
Yeah, I think Heath Miller is going to be highly owned this week. I think people have chased the points. I really like Heath Miller. Now, with the tight ends, when I give you guys the positions of the players, when you guys go to the website, which is tothepoint.weebly.com, you get to see all our picks and everything. And I give you a pretty intensive list with quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers. Every week on tight end, I go three. And those three are the only tight ends I'm playing. So this week, the guy that I have on the bargain, probably the cheapest out of the three that I have, is Ladarius Green at $3,300. I know he's probable. Is that what it is right now, Brandon? He's probable or is he questionable right now?
Right now, he's questionable. That tight end position in San Diego is so weird. I mean, him and Antonio, they've been doing stuff at practice, but they keep popping up on the injury report, but one of them's going to have a big game. One of them's going to have a big game. Whoever plays, folks, plug in whoever plays in San Diego.
Yeah, with Keenan Allen out, I think even if both of them play, I think both of them will get a lot of reception just because their receivers are so terrible. So Ladarius Green at $3,300, and that's going to all depend on if he plays or not. By Sunday, you will know if he's going or not. So Ladarius is the cheapest guy. I have three tight ends, and that's the cheapest guy I got.
No, that's a good one. There's a breaking update on the DraftKings tournament stating that Vernon Davis, you know, since he was just acquired by the Denver Broncos, he will not accrue any fantasy points this week in the big $1 million setup. So I don't know if that's for all of the contests or just the big one, but it's for all of them. Yeah. So definitely be aware of that, because there was some news that Vernon Davis could get plugged in this weekend to play. But, you know, so definitely be aware of that, you know, before you just throw Vernon Davis in your lineup. All right. So we got to the bargain buys. Now we're going to go to what we call our safe buys. So these are players that they're pretty much, they're expensive at their position, but because of the talent or the matchup, we feel that they're going to live up to that price tag. So we kind of look at the guys that kind of have the top pricing in those setups. So we're going to start with the quarterbacks and looking at top pricing. Taha, any quarterbacks that we like this week at the safe buy position?
Thomas Brady at 8,500 versus Washington. And this one doesn't make sense because everyone thinks it's going to be a blowout game, and I think it is going to be a blowout, but I think this guy in three quarters of war can just ball out. It's Matty Ice from Atlanta. Matt Ryan at 7,100 I still think is a safe bet, even though he's going versus the 49ers, who are pretty much giving players away. So Matt Ryan and Tom Brady are my two safe buys.
Yeah, Ryan just hasn't blown up yet. And I think we talked about that a little bit Wednesday. And, you know, with San Francisco coming in this game with all the controversy and distractions and a backup quarterback, Atlanta should really run over them. I mean, Atlanta's offense should be on the field more than San Francisco. So just tiring them out should allow Matt Ryan to have a big game. But I really like the Ryan pick. I actually think Tom Brady, I don't know, I feel like with New England, in games where Brady could potentially be exposed or be, exposed is not the right word, because he's a great quarterback. Let me take that back. Not exposed, but basically get hit a lot, be pressured, just really a bad matchup for them. Though I feel like those are the games where they go run heavy and they can have some success. I think they're going to have to do that against Washington. Washington, surprisingly, man, is pretty tough defensively. Like they got some talent in the front seven part of it. And on the back end, they can break down. But those linemen, those linebackers, those guys are pretty active, man. They're pretty active. I don't think – I just don't feel it's a three to four touchdown day by Brady. But I could be wrong, because I see Washington play at least twice a year. with Dallas. But my safe buy at quarterback, I'm going to go with one, Ben Roethlisberger at 6,600. Just about too shy of the top spot, but I like his matchup against the Oakland Raiders. And then I'm still going to go with my second one, Phillip Rivers at 6,900. I know he doesn't have Keenan Allen, but, you know, Phillip Rivers has really been spreading the ball around. He's been just laser focused. He's having a really good season. And just as a passer, he's just matured. You know, he takes care of the ball, and it's just surprising that their record's not better. But I like Phillip Rivers' matchup versus the Chicago Bears on Monday night.
Yeah, those are, I mean, Phillip Rivers, he just gets it done, Brandon, you're right. It doesn't make sense how he does it, but he just does it. So, this guy just does it. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. He just gets the work job done, folks. That's all he does.
There it is. So, let's look at the running backs and the safe buy option. Taha, who do we like at the running back position as a safe buy?
Devontae Freeman at 8,000 versus San Francisco. I think this guy is worth the price tag because he can catch the ball out of the backfield, and DraftKings is a full PPR thing, so he gives you value there. And I think the safest buy of them all right now, it's no hands down, it's Todd Gurley, and he's at 6,900, and I think he's underpriced. I think he should be at 8,500. So Todd Gurley at 6,900, it doesn't get safer than that, folks. Put Todd Gurley and Freeman in there.
Yeah. I mean, because of the pricing and situation, I hate to, continue to agree with Taha, try to give you guys some options, but, I mean, Freeman is about as safe as you can get. And I just talked about Atlanta being on the field more than San Francisco, so they definitely get a chance to wear that on their defense. And Gurley, even though this is, quote-unquote, supposed to be a tough matchup for him going against Minnesota, Todd Gurley he's been unstoppable. He really has. And Minnesota plays good defense. They play good defense. Sound fundamental team when it comes to tackling and breaking things down. But, I mean, let's look at Gurley's track record. Cardinals, Packers, Browns, 49ers. He's torched them all. I mean, he's really torched them all. And, Packers, Cardinals, and Browns, before the Browns, got to this week and everyone's like, hey, everyone can run on the Browns. You know why you feel like everyone can run on the Browns? Because guys like Todd Gurley put over 30 fantasy points on them, okay? That's why their ranking is so up there, because they had to face Todd Gurley. I mean, so his dude is just, he is cut a path towards all these quote-unquote, solid run defenses. And I think Minnesota's they're not going to be an exception to the rule. I think he's going to do the same thing to them. He's just hard to stop, man. He really is. So, Freeman and Gurley, they're mine too. So, you're welcome. All right. Wide receivers for safe buys. I'll go ahead and kick it off for the wide receivers. We kind of have to almost stick with the theme of this Atlanta game. This is the time for this offense of Atlanta to really come alive. They've been a bit conservative in these last couple of weeks. I think they lost some steam when they were beat by Tampa Bay. But they really got to come alive. And this seems like an opportunity where Julio Jones, I just don't see anyone on San Francisco's secondary that can hold them. San Francisco's pass rush is not that great. So Matt should have a lot of opportunities to find Julio. So at 9,300, Julio could have a really, really big week. Definitely like him to have a big week. And then my second guy, I actually like him more than a player that's on my team. At 8,100, I think Antonio Brown comes back to the number one spot. Fantasy. I think him and Big Ben, could have like a 2 to 3 touchdown day between them. So I believe Antonio Brown finds the end zone at least twice this weekend.
Yeah, folks, there's not going to be any disagreement from what Brandon said. So I'm going to give you guys the short and skinny. I love Antonio Brown. I love Julio Jones. And the other guy I like is another guy that's pretty expensive. His name is Odell Beckham Jr. So Odell, Antonio, and Julio Jones. I just think 9,300, 8,800, and 8,100, you got to put those guys in your lineup. So, I want to be different, but I just think Julio's got to be there. But Antonio Brown at 8,100, still a bargain because it's taken him a while to get him up to what it is. And it's Ben Roethlisberger versus Oakland. That guy is going to be legit this week. So, yeah, pretty much the same with you, Brandon, again.
Yeah, kind of hard to overlook when we look at these safe plays. Even with the next position, the tight end position, I mean, there's really three top shelf pricing when it comes to tight ends. That's Gronk, Olsen, and Witten. And believe it or not, out of those three, the best matchup is Greg Olsen's matchup. Green Bay is they're not a strong team versus the tight end. And they've had some issues, man. They've had some breakdowns and coverages. They got some young guys in that secondary. Ha behind Clinton Dix, you know, his second year. You know, he's a talented player, but, you know, they've had some, like I said, just had some miscommunications on that back end. And Greg Olsen is the most viable threat in the passing game for Carolina. That's basically Cam's go-to guy. So I like Greg Olsen this week at 6,500.
Brandon, can I give, you know, the one thing I'm good for is giving you, like, worthless facts that, like, when you hear it, you're like, wow. But, you know, that's what I'm known for. And if you guys are around me a lot, you'll see this. So here's a stat for you. Greg Olsen, as of last week, has played in 100% of Carolina snaps.
Wow.
Think about that.
No injury.
Position.
No time off.
No injury. No time off. Doesn't come off the field for a play. Do you know how many times receivers down the, go run a streak, and what do they do afterwards, Brandon? Tap their helmet? Bring in the backup? Greg Olsen has played in 100, folks, 100% of the plays run by Carolina thus far this year.
Wow.
100%. So that means he's tied with Cam Newton. And if you don't understand that, I want you to really pay attention to the next football game you watch and see how many times players come out the game. It happens all the time. Like, A.J. Green comes out of the game when they go goal line package. You know what I'm saying? Like, people move, but Greg Olsen's been in every snap. So just think about that. This is not high school, folks. A guy shouldn't be playing this much. So, yeah, you want to talk about a player that's going to have a lot of opportunity? It's Greg Olsen because he's in every play. 100% of them.
And that's significant because Greg Olsen is not the tight end that just, you know, goes maybe 10 to 15 yards deep. Like, Greg Olsen can catch a bomb, okay? I mean, he can stretch the field as a tight end. So that's a significant, you know, stat of him playing 100% of their plays. I mean, that's actually amazing. But, you know, he's that guy, man. He is that tight end. So I guess I shouldn't be too shocked about it. That's a good stat, man. Real good stat. That stat will carry us over to what we call our no bueno plays, okay? So these are players that are priced on the high end, and we're just staying away from them this weekend. Don't like the matchups and don't feel like they're going to live up to it. And so let's start off with the quarterbacks. So who is going to be your no bueno play? Who are you staying away from this weekend?
Man, this week it's not like someone that really sticks out. I got to do it. I am completely staying away from Sam Bradford this week. I know he's 5,900. He's going versus Dallas, and Dallas is not supposed to have a good offense. But guess what? Sam Bradford is horrible, folks. He doesn't do shit. Until he proves to me that he can do something 2 weeks in a row, I'm not playing him. So 5,900, I'm not playing him. There's four players I named to you already that is less than him that I'll play. So 5,900, I'm staying away from Sam Bradford.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, can't argue with you on that one. There's two elite or two top shelf QBs that have tough matchups, and both of them are coming off of bad performances. But I think one bounces back and one continues to struggle. And I just have a hard time going against Aaron Rodgers. I know he has a tough matchup against Carolina, but he played so badly and was so embarrassed that I just expect him to will that team and just have a better performance. But the other quarterback, not so lucky, no pun intended, Andrew Luck is my no bueno buy. I'm staying away from him. He's going against the Denver Broncos, who have the number one defense in the NFL and in fantasy. And they are probably the fastest defensive team at every level. Their defensive line, their linebackers, and their secondary. A lot of speed. excellent form tackling. They're a truckload. They really are. And there's rumblings that T.Y. Hilton may not play this week. So that doesn't bode very well for Andrew Luck. So I'm staying away from Andrew this week.
Yeah, and they held Aaron Rodgers to 50 yards throwing last week. I mean, they call themselves the no-fly zone, folks. That's what they call themselves. Talib and Chris Harris, it's no-fly zone. That's what they call it, no-fly zone.
Wow.
So, yeah. No, I like that, no bueno bye.
All right, who do we like at running back for the no bueno?
Eddie Lacy. I don't know how. I was trying to be tricky. I was trying to like make everyone think like I was thinking about this or whatever the case was. Let me tell you when you know that Eddie Lacy is struggling. Okay, Brandon. Let me clarify this. This is a guy that was being picked with the 4th, 5th pick every draft, right? Mm-hmm. People got excited last week when he had 11 rushes for 38 yards and a touchdown. Because that was his highest production year to date. I am staying away from him because he's going versus Carolina. There's a guy named Kukli, and there's another guy on that team named Tommy Davis, so I'm not touching you. Bye-bye, Eddie Lacy. I am staying as far away from you as possible this week at 6,100.
That's a good one. I'll backdoor with mine. This running back's at 6,400. I don't like him this week because I actually think his backup is going to play better than him, and that's DeMarco Murray. I'm staying away from DeMarco Murray. I think Ryan Matthews I can even see Darren Sproles getting involved in this game, but I'm staying away from DeMarco Murray. I think Ryan Matthews should probably get the lion's share of the carry this week. I think he's just a better matchup. So, no DeMarco this week. I wouldn't touch him. All right, let's see. Now we got wide receivers. So, you know, we looked at quarterback and running back tough matchups. Now, from a wide receiver standpoint, what guys are we staying away from?
You want me to go first, Brandon?
You know, actually, I'm going to throw one out there. This guy he's performed well, right? I mean, I think he fits the system. He's only had, like, one bad week this year, and it was against a really good defensive cornerback. Like I said, I just think this matchup, I don't want to say trap game, but I just think this matchup is going to be tough overall. I'm going to stay away from Julian Edelman this week at 8,200. You know, New England going against Washington Redskins. Trust me, I am not pumping Washington up like they're the second coming. You know, they're a shitty team that plays well in spurts, but they're not as shitty as you think. I don't like Edelman this week to be that typical big play, big points wide receiver. So I'm staying away from Julian Edelman.
Yeah, this week I'm going to go after a person that I really don't like. I just don't like him. Allen Robinson, he's terrible, folks. Because he's going to Revis Island. And last time I checked, it's not that good this time of year. And, you know, he's coming off a 320-point outing, and he's 6,400. And if you want to be tricky and say, ooh, let me play Allen Robinson because no one's going to play him, you can go ahead, but that's, like, pretty much donating to the field because this guy's going to give me a big whopping, like, 2 points because he's garbage and Revis Island's about to lock him down. So that's my no point on that.
He's going to be on Revis Island, not the easiest place to vacation. All right, let's look at the tight end for no bueno. I think this game is just going to be really interesting, man. My no bueno by a tight end is going to be Jordan Reed, Washington Redskins tight end. at 4,500. Jordan Reed is extremely talented, and when he can stay healthy, he can do amazing things. But I think, you know, New England at that second level with guys like Jamie Collins, Dante Hightower, I just think they're pretty good against the tight end, man, pretty good against the tight end. I don't think this is a game for Jordan Reed, more so a wideout game. I think Pierre Garçon will have more success than Jordan, so I'm staying away from Jordan Reed this week.
Yeah, I'm staying away from Jason Witten at 5,200. He's really not done anything except the first three games. And let me think, who was there the first three games? Tony Romo was there the first three games? Pretty much his best man. You know, pretty much his best man. So no Tony Romo, no Jason Witten for me. No thank you. I don't want any of that. Jason Witten's like broccoli for me right now. I will pass. So, no chance. Like, 5,200, I'm not touching him this week.
Yep. That's no assumptions there, folks. That's fact. Without Tony Romo, Witten has not looked like his Hall of Fame self. So, I definitely agree with that one. I am not riding on Castle to find a tight end, so. All right, so this is our last category. These are just our favorite buys. So these are these players, you know, we really like them, right? We like their matchup. We feel like, you know, these guys may be like the majority picks on most fantasy teams, our DFS lineups this week. So we'll go with the quarterback position. And I'll kick it off. This guy was mentioned already, but, you know, he's going to be my favorite buy for this week. And that's Eli Manning. Eli Manning is 6,900, coming off of a huge six-touchdown performance versus the Saints. And guess what? The fantasy gods were kind enough to give him the third-worst team versus quarterback in Tampa Bay. And so I think Eli has another big weekend. So he is my favorite play at quarterback this week.
Yeah, my favorite buy has been a guy that's already been mentioned. I'll keep it short and sweet. Oakland sucks. Give me Ben Roethlisberger. They're avenging that loss from last week to the Bengals, of course. So Berger this week is my favorite buy at quarterback.
Big Ben. Yeah, Big Ben. Can't go wrong there. My favorite buy at running back, we actually mentioned him. I believe he was my safe buy, too. So, now that's not uncommon, right? I mean, sometimes your safe buy could be your favorite buy. So, my favorite buy this week is Devontae Freeman. I mean, he has been the safest and the favorite at running back. And it's hard to argue otherwise. So at 8,000, he's my favorite by running back. He just gets a really juicy matchup versus the 49ers.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with Devontae, what he's been doing. But my fave by this week, here you go, LeSean McCoy for Buffalo at 5,500. I really like him. Come on, Shady. It's time for us to see you do that Shady thing. So I want to see Shady for everyone that's been waiting. He's been showing us a little glimpse of him dancing in the end zone. I think this is going to be a full-out Chris Brown Omarion concert. He's just going to be dancing all over the place, folks. Shady McCoy this week. Tooted. It's going to be like an MTV award ceremony, okay? He's going to be dancing all over the place. So that's my favorite
guy,
Shady McCoy.
Oh, Shady. That's a good one. That is definitely a good one. Let's see. Now we transition over to the wide receivers and favorite buys. My favorite buy wide receiver this week, kind of highlighted this game, but I'm going on the other side of the ball this one. I know I mentioned about Antonio, you know, finding the end zone. Pittsburgh has proven that they have a lot of balls to go around as far as the opportunities, man. They got a lot to go around. And this guy can turn a 6-yard hitch into an 80-yard score. And so Martavis Bryant going against that Raiders secondary, I really, really like him this week. I think he goes off. He's been quiet in the last week, and I think he makes a lot of noise this week. So I like Bryant. Favorite buy.
And how much was Martavis?
He is 5,500.
5,500?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my fave buy is the guy I made a bold prediction on the Top Dog show, and I truly believe he will be on Top Dogs every week because he's that damn good. Alshon Jeffrey, folks. Alshon Jeffrey is my favorite buy this week. I don't know how you don't play that guy. He's amazing. And guess what? DraftKings thinks he sucks because he's at 6,700. So give me Alshon for two, please. So Alshon Jeffries is going to be on pretty much every one of my lineups. He's been 30 points the last 2 weeks on DraftKings. So that's who I take as my favorite buy.
Yeah, Alshon, that Monday night, it's like when he goes up in the air, as far as like a contested, you know, catch, as from a receiver standpoint, I think Dez Bryant, Alshon Jeffrey, those guys do that really, really well. You know, they're big body guys, strong hands, and when the ball is at its highest point and it's contested, those two guys are really, really good at that. Calvin Johnson is like the greatest at it, and he hasn't gotten a lot of opportunities to do it this year, but when that ball is at its highest point, and it's basically kind of against that wide receiver and corner, if those three guys go up, there's no corner in the league that's coming down with that ball. Like, they're just really, really hard to make those catches on. Mike Evans is actually really good at that as well. But anyway, all right, so now we're going to tight ends, the favorite buy. And, man, sorry, once again, a player that I talked about earlier is my favorite buy. I mean, it's kind of hard to overlook, and I don't want to just throw out names to you guys. I want to give you players that I feel are going to get it done. And I got to go back to Austin Seferian Jenkins, tight end, 2,800, my favorite buy this week. Not only is he cheap, but I think he's going to be very effective. Probably will find the end zone. So I'm going to go with Jenkins.
Well, you know, this week I was going to go with three tight ends, and, you know, I was telling you about it, Ladarius, you know, Gronk, and my favorite buy is the Black Unicorn on Monday. I think without Matt Forte there, he gets a little more love. Hopefully he can catch the ball. He just hasn't had a breakout game yet. I don't think he just forgot how to catch the ball after 1 year. So I like Martellus Bennett on Monday at 4,900. But I'm going to put Seferian Jenkins in some lineups, Brandon. I think you have sold me on that guy today. I mean, because, you know, the last game he played, he had two touchdowns the last game he played. So I think he sold me on him, so I will be playing that guy this week.
Yeah, and you got to look at it like this. You know, Jameis Winston has been – he's been solid in, like, the last, like, four games, right? I mean, so he's been pretty solid. And, you know, he didn't have Seferian. And really, that was the guy that he built, in my opinion, a rapport with and had some success. And then when Seferian got injured and went down, you know, it was Vincent Jackson. And then Vincent got hurt, then Mike Evans, you know. So he has a lot of options in Tampa Bay. And so with Seferian coming back and with Jameis, you know, playing well and having confidence and against the Giants, I mean, come on, man. Jenkins is going to – I think he's gonna find it. So I like him there. So, I mean, it's NFL Week 9. You know, we're plugged in. We're going to be watching the games just like you guys are going to be watching the game. So that is our Fill It Up Friday show, our DraftKings edition. Tune in again with us this Sunday We will be going live and answering your questions for your fantasy lineup. So you can tweet us using hashtag to the point two. And other than that, we will see you Sunday.